I hope that's working. Okay, let's pray as we start. Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray that you would speak to us through it. Please speak to each one of us here this evening. Amen. I have a silver Vespa, and her name is Flora. And I love Flora. I love her. Sorry, just one moment. I love Flora for a number of reasons. First of all, she's beautiful. And second of all, she saves me a lot of time. She means I don't have to wait for tubes or for buses, and I don't have to sit in traffic. So she's both beautiful and practical, which I think is rare. But even with Flora in my life, I cannot avoid having to wait sometimes. Waiting is an unavoidable part of life, isn't it? And according to a Vodafone advert that I was listening to recently, waiting is pointless. It's tapping your foot, it's biting your nails. No one wants to be waiting's mate. It's a bus stop in the rain, standing 10 deep at the bar. It's a delivery slot between 9 a.m. and 10 p.m. Waiting isn't Vodafone's idea of fun, and that's why we're offering the Sony Ericsson K850i, etc., etc., etc. And then it ends, waiting, what a waste. Vodafone, make the most of now. Now, I found this particularly interesting because I heard this on the radio, and I thought, oh, I'm speaking on waiting. And so, of course, I had to spend the next 3 weeks listening to Virgin Radio for hundreds of hours, just waiting for this advert to come up again. And there are just dreadful things that happen. Things like, they have these games called things like Bank It or Bust, which is just mind-numbing. And I felt slightly strange sitting in my flat, and I think I must be the only person listening to Virgin Radio with the music very quietly, and then whenever the adverts came up, turning the volume up, and then sitting with a pen poised just in case the advert came up. So waiting can be frustrating, but it can also be exciting. How many people here find it just a little bit hard to get to sleep on Christmas Eve? There are still a few of us. It can be exciting. But sometimes the experience of waiting can be disappointing. Sometimes what we get for at the end of waiting can be a disappointment. Oscar Wilde said, there are only two tragedies in life. One is not getting what one wants, and the other is getting it. I don't know how many people here this evening feel perhaps that they are waiting. It might be for trivial things, like for me to stop speaking so we can have some cakes and mince pies and mulled wine afterwards. It might be for your flatmate to learn how to clear up after them or empty the dustbins. Or it might be for more serious things, like for marriage, for children, for a job that really fulfills, for a time when you're able to get back from work at a reasonable hour. Maybe it's for physical healing or for emotional healing. Maybe you've been praying for a friend to become a Christian and are waiting for that. Or maybe you're just waiting for an opportunity to really serve God in an effective way. This is something that I've experienced a bit over the last few years when I had an ME for about 4 years. And that I felt was a time of waiting, and that can be frustrating. And this is, as I'm sure you all know, is the first Sunday of Advent. And Advent is a time, I think, in the church calendar when we remind ourselves that waiting is part of what it means to be a Christian. Throughout the Bible, God's people wait. Abraham waited for 25 years for a son. Jacob waited 7 years to marry Rachel, and then found he'd married her slightly less attractive older sister. And then had to wait another 7 years to marry her as well. Joseph waited years for his dreams to be fulfilled. The people of Israel had to wait for years for the promises that had been given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for a land of their own to be fulfilled. Job had to wait for during his sufferings. In the Psalms, you hear again and again things like, "I will wait for your salvation. How long must your servant wait?" And of course, the people of Israel waited hundreds of years for the Messiah to come. And then when Jesus came, he then waited for 30 years before he started his public ministry. And we as the church are waiting for Jesus to return. And we believe in a God who waits. The Bible describes God as a patient God. He's patient, I suppose, in terms of his timing. He waits before he acts. But most of all, he's a God who waits in that he's a God who waits for us. He's the father in the parable of the prodigal son who waits each day for his son to come home. And so when we wait, we actually experience something of God's character as a waiting God. And of course, waiting isn't easy. For Joseph, it meant being sold by his brothers into slavery, being falsely accused of rape, being thrown into prison, and apparently forgotten. For Israel, waiting meant being slaves in a foreign land, and then wandering through the desert for 40 years. And for us, waiting can be painful. There are disappointments, frustrations. We are tempted to give up. And then there's the sort of confusion about what's going on when these things don't happen. But what is it that we're waiting for as Christians? I mean, primarily, what we're waiting for is for Jesus to return. That's the point of Advent. We wait for Jesus to return and to bring the kingdom of God in all its fullness. And for every tear to be wiped away, for it to establish his rule here on earth. But I think we're also waiting for God in our individual lives. We're waiting for God to intervene. Maybe we're waiting for guidance, for him to fulfill promises to us, to heal, to provide for us in our daily lives. In other words, for the kingdom of God to be extended in our individual lives, in those sort of smaller ways. So how, as Christians, should we wait for Jesus' return and for everything else that we're waiting for? I suggest that we should wait confidently, patiently, and faithfully. First of all, confidently. Wait confidently. We're not waiting around for something that might or might not happen. We're not like those sort of slightly pathetic characters I sort of imagine in some of Dickens' novels. Maybe Rick in Bleak House, waiting for the court case Jarndyce versus Jarndyce to be settled so that he can receive his inheritance. And of course, he never gets it. We can be confident of the things we wait for. And I think we can be confident based on three things. First of all, the promise of the Father. If God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. He's not one of those people who say they're going to do something and then doesn't. And so our confidence isn't based on ourselves. It's based on God's love for us and his faithfulness to his own word. So that's the first thing. Then the second reason why we're confident is because of the work of the Son. Jesus has already come once, which gives us confidence that he'll come again. He has already inaugurated the kingdom. He started healing the sick. He's comforted the distressed. He saved the lost. So we can be confident that he'll continue to do this and bring this to completion. And that's the promise of the Father, that's the work of the Son, and the third thing is the gift of the Spirit. We can experience these things in the present through the Spirit. Paul in Ephesians talks about the Spirit being an arabon, which means a down payment, a deposit, real money, but not the full amount, but that which guarantees what's about to come in the future. And so, to use an analogy, we wait not like someone perhaps who's waiting to meet the man or woman of their dreams, but like one who's already engaged. There's the promise which has been made, and there's a relationship already experienced in the present. And then there's the ring, which is a guarantee of what's going to take place. So God is the ultimate completer finisher. He'll come and finish off what he started. So we wait confidently, knowing that it's God who brings his kingdom, not us. And for this reason, I think we should also wait patiently. There is a passive side to waiting, when we give up our desire to control our own futures and simply wait for God's intervention. We shouldn't try to make things happen ourselves, or get distracted or disillusioned or try something else. Some of the greatest failures in the Bible were when people gave up waiting. We think of Abraham. Sarah was old, he'd been promised a son. And so instead of waiting for God, he went and slept with his slave girl, Hagar, to try and make the promise happen. We think of the Israelites waiting at the foot of Mount Sinai, waiting for Moses to come down with the law. And then it says in Exodus, when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they said to Aaron, "Come, let us make gods who will go before us." And then they made the golden calves. They gave up waiting. Often while we're waiting for God, we try and find consolation in other things. On Friday afternoon, I went back to my flat and tried to finish off my preparation for this evening in terms of this talk. And I was tired and nothing came. I had sort of mental fog, which sometimes happens. And I found it slightly depressing. I didn't know what to do. And so instead of praying and waiting for God's inspiration, I tried other things to kind of cheer myself up. Comfort eating. Someone had given us very kindly one of those Lindor, those little round chocolates, Lindor round chocolates, which are delicious. I had about half a pack of those. I tried sort of sending texts or calling people. I went on Facebook, of which I'm now a member, following my talk last month. I suppose all these things were my equivalent of the golden calves, trying to find things that would settle me, would give me consolation. And of course nothing worked. And eventually I went for a walk and prayed. And then, of course, I felt God's presence with me and felt a new ability to get on with the preparation. We think also, in terms of people who failed while they waited, of Peter. In John's Gospel, we read that Peter and another disciple followed Jesus to the high priest's courtyard after Jesus is arrested. The other disciple is let in, but Peter, it says, had to wait outside the door. And of course, it was as he waited that he denied Jesus three times. It's so easy to get it wrong while we wait, if we give up hope and decide to maybe settle for second best. You think maybe of the film Castaway, where Helen Hunt gives up waiting for Tom Hanks to be found. He's crashed on this desert island. She gives up and marries the dentist. we think of Legend of the Fall, where Julia Ormond gives up waiting for Brad Pitt and marries his older brother. As the Lord said to the prophet Habakkuk, though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. So we need to wait confidently. We need to wait patiently. We wait confidently knowing that God has promised, that God will do what he's promised to do. We wait patiently, not giving up hope or getting distracted or disillusioned. And we also need to wait faithfully. There is a passive side to waiting, as we try to avoid trying to make things happen. But there's also an active side. We're not to do nothing while we wait. We think of the parable of the talents, where the master is furious with the servant who did nothing while he waited for his master to return. But to those who made the most of what they were given while they waited for the master to return, he calls good and faithful servants. So we should make the most of the time that we have while we wait. To give a trivial example, I always take a book wherever I go, because you never know when you'll have to wait. But I think it's tempting to feel perhaps that there are lots of things we can't do until a future time when certain other things are in place. Leo Tolstoy tells the story of a dinner party where everyone decides that they should leave their lives of luxury and go and live with and work with the poor. A student begins and says, right, you know, we've all been talking about this. I'm actually going to go and do it. I'm going to sell everything I've got. I'm going to go and live with the poor. And everyone advises him, no, you're just too young. You need to get some more experience. Otherwise, you won't be helpful to them. You need to go and get a job, get experience. And then a man with a young family says, well, you know, I've got experience. Why don't I go and do this? But they say, but you've just got married. You've got a young family that you need to support. Wait a few years till your children have left home. Then you'll be able to do it. And one by one, they each go round. And each time, they're just not quite ready. Each time, they should wait a little bit longer. Until, eventually, there's just an old man who's left. And he says he'll do it. And they all say he's far too old to do anything now. It's too late. He can't change his habits. And he's worked hard in his life. So I think it is tempting to feel that perhaps until maybe we've got married or we've got settled in a job, until we've got a further qualification, until we've been healed physically, until we've got financial security, we can't quite get on with what we'd like to do. I think I felt almost all of these when I had ME. I felt that I was useless, there was nothing really I could do until I'd got better. But then you look at someone like Joseph and what he achieved in those years while he was waiting for the dreams to be fulfilled. How he organized Potiphar's household, resisted sexual temptation, ran the prison he was in, gave interpretation of dreams, and eventually went on to rule Egypt. You think of Paul in his time in prison, writing all the letters that we have in the New Testament. And we think of Jesus, who seemed to have spent most of his 30 years studying in preparation for his ministry. And there's a lot to get on with. Jesus, after all, suggested we make disciples of all nations in this little time we have while we wait for him to return. And so, in a sense, Vodafone are wrong when they say waiting is pointless, but they're right in that we should make the most of now. But, of course, waiting isn't now and never will be easy. But I think we can be confident that if we do wait patiently, never giving up hope, but continuing to do what is good, as Paul says, at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Or to put it another way, in the words of Guinness, good things come to those who wait. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you that you are a God who waits for us. that you are a patient God, that you are a faithful God, a God in whom we can be confident. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we wait for you, both in terms of your return to earth in glory, but also as we wait for you each day, as we wait for your consolation, for your intervention in our life, for your guidance. I'm going to ask Tom and the band to come and lead us in worship. I encourage people to carry on receiving during the worship.